I'm hoping that we can link up. There we go. Okay. So, in case you hadn't gathered, we're going to think about the Holy Spirit today, which actually is something that we as Baptists don't often do. In fact, Baptists in the kind of 18th, 19th century had the idea that the signs, the gifts, the extraordinary manifestations of the Holy Spirit were something that died off at the end of the apostolic age. So as the disciples who had been filled with the Holy Spirit, as they passed away, so the gifts of the Holy Spirit ceased to occur. But then, at intervals during the centuries, things kind of happened. And it seems that the Holy Spirit was still at work in certain people's lives on occasions. And some of those are recorded in history. But in particular, in 1906 in California, in a small prayer meeting, the Holy Spirit fell on those who were praying at Azusa Street. And a revival began, which touched our world, which had an amazing impact on people, on the way that we think as Christians, on the way that we act. And then in the 70s, suddenly there was this thing called the charismatic movement. And then into the 80s, and all sorts of things happened. And it wasn't just the Pentecostals, it wasn't just those happy, clappy people, as they are sometimes called. It affected the Catholics, the Anglicans, the Methodists, the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, the United Reformed Church, and yes, even us Baptists. Praise God. Today, guess what the biggest or the fastest growing part of the church is? And it's not Baptist, in case you're thinking that. The Pentecostal movement, particularly in South America and in Africa, it's the Pentecostals that seem to be having a positive impact on their world. They seem to be making a difference. So today, what's special about today? It's Pentecost. What does Pentecost mean? Okay, let's break it down slightly. What's the first five books in the Bible called? Pentateuch. Okay, so there's a clue there. Five. Okay, actually it's not just five, it's 50. But it's 50 days since we celebrated something else. Easter. Okay, so now we can see there's some significance there. What's the significance of 50? John Hymas. Yeah, well, you're right. It's one of those strange things that they put in there. It's a jubilee, isn't it? Yeah, so at 50, so the 7 times 7, the 49, and then a year where everything was wiped clean. Okay, so Pentecost originally was a Jewish festival that came 50 days after the Passover. Okay, and if you read your church history, if you understand all about the crucifixion, you will know that that happened around the Passover, that the Jews were celebrating the Passover, and then 50 days later they would have celebrated Pentecost. And they celebrated what? The harvest. Yeah, wheat or barley harvest and something else. What was the other thing? Nobody know? John Hymas? The giving of the law of Moses. Brilliant. Okay, because they reckoned that when the Passover had occurred, when they'd moved out of Egypt and gone into the wilderness, that probably about 50 days later, that's when Moses was given the law. You may want to disagree with that. You may want to have words with Moses about that when you see him, but that's not a conversation that we're going to have now. So, that's where it came from, yeah? So it's significant, okay? What I want to know is, well, let me ask you a question. That's probably the easiest way of doing this. What are the celebrations that we particularly focus on as a church? Christmas? Easter? Anything else? Harvest, yeah. Advent, yeah. Good Friday, yeah. And Pentecost, okay. Why is it that we kind of have chocolate eggs, we have selection boxes, we have gifts, we have all sorts of stuff for everything else, or for some of the other things, should I say, and yet Pentecost kind of passes silently? Okay, in fact, I think this is probably the first time that I've actually spoken about Pentecost. Not good, really, is it? That actually this was the beginning of the church. And we should celebrate that. We should be excited about that. We'll come back to that. I've got a picture to show you. There we go. Say, wow. Okay, it's a picture of an amazing spectacle that occurs in the Yosemite National Park. Okay, it only happens around about February, March time each year. Okay, and it happens because of the perfect combination of the setting sun, the amount of water that is flowing. This waterfall only flows February, March time. And it will only flow enough if there's been enough snowfall that the water then, as it melts, comes down this cliff edge and forms this waterfall. And at a particular time of day, when the sun's in the right place, it looks like it's molten lava falling down the side of this rock. And the formation is known as El Capitan. The conditions need to be absolutely perfect for it to be seen. There needs to be enough water, so that means there needs to have been enough snow. The sun needs to be just in the right place as it's setting in the sky. You need to be in the right place. There doesn't need to be any clouds there. Imagine if before the Holy Spirit came to the followers of Jesus, there needed to be absolute perfection. It wouldn't have happened. These were the men that had run away from Jesus when Jesus had needed them most. These are the men who had denied knowing Jesus. Another one had doubted that Jesus had appeared in the flesh. And yet, they were chosen to receive the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, as Jesus had called him. The Holy Spirit came on the group of disciples. And that was the beginning of the church as we know it. So suddenly, from being scared, timid, cowardly people who had followed Jesus, who had then deserted him, who weren't sure what was going to happen, who'd hidden away in a room in Jerusalem because they just didn't know what to do, suddenly transformed into confident, powerful, dynamic, supernatural witnesses that changed the world. Wow. So what, you might say? That was then, and this is now. Well, I've read through, I've studied a bit. And actually, I think the Baptists of the 18th and 19th century got it wrong. I actually think that the Holy Spirit is at work now, and that we should be looking to him for the signs, for the gifts, for the things that should happen in our churches as God works, as he sends the Holy Spirit to move amongst us. So this is my theology. You're allowed to disagree with me, because there will be different ideas about when the Holy Spirit comes or how it happens. So let me explain. Just like for some of us, becoming a Christian happened on one day. For some people, they can tell you the date and the time and where they were and everything else when they became a Christian. For other people, it has been a process that they have gradually come to recognize that God is real and that they need to surrender their life to Him. So it's a difference, but they've come to the same understanding. And I think that sometimes it's the same with the Holy Spirit. For some people, you might say, oh, well, the Holy Spirit was clearly working in their lives before they became a Christian. For other people, they might say, oh, yes, when I became a Christian, I knew that the Holy Spirit was at work in me. And for still others, there might be a specific point in their Christian walk where they were, as the term goes, baptized with the Holy Spirit. Do you know what? I don't really mind. It matters not how you get to that point. Just like it doesn't matter how you get to the point of recognizing that Jesus is the only way to heaven. So it is with the Holy Spirit, as far as I can see. It doesn't matter how you get to that point. What you need to do is to get to that point, is to understand that you need the Holy Spirit as part of the Trinity in you. That's why Jesus said, I will send a comforter. Because God the Father was up in heaven, if you like. Jesus was returning to heaven. And He said, I will send the Comforter, that other person of the Trinity, to be with you, to be me in you. God in us. Wow. So I don't think there is a correct process. But I do believe, and I am enthusiastic about and passionate about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians, as a church, as individuals, that we can impact our communities. That actually, when we look around us at the tragic things that are happening, that we should be able to say, we're Christians. I said before, I don't have all the answers. I'm not suggesting that we march into the hospitals and pray for the people there. What I am suggesting is that maybe it's time that we as a church stood up and were counted as the people of God that we ought to be. If you are interested, next Saturday, we're hoping, weather permitting, we're hoping to do some outreach out the front of the church. We don't know exactly how that will work or what form that will take. But if you're interested in being involved in that, if you arrive here for about 10 o'clock next Saturday morning, Brandon and his two friends are going to be here as well. They've just done a year with the Baptist Missionary Society. So they're going to hopefully show us some of the things that they've learnt in their training, in their experience with the Baptist Missionary Society, as we seek to maybe just reach out to our town next Saturday. So what about these gifts? They're mentioned in several places in the New Testament. So Romans 12, 6 to 8 says this list of things about the gifts of the Holy Spirit: prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy. It seems that sometimes, for some of us, some of those things are more popular than others. But the reality is that different people are given different gifts, and we should celebrate the gifts that God has given to other people as well as to ourselves. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 10. Some more of the gifts. The word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. However, 1 Peter 4:11, whoever speaks, whoever renders service, the passage says there. You see, I don't think that the labels, the list of gifts is a definitive list. I don't think that we should just say, oh yes, those are the things that it mentions in the Bible. They're identified as the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that's it. I don't think that there is a definitive answer in that sense. I believe that if God has equipped us and empowered us to do something, that the Holy Spirit is working in us. And maybe sometimes we don't feel that we can do something except that God works in us, that the Holy Spirit works in us to enable us to do those things. So the bottom line is, as far as I'm concerned, if you're working for God, that basically a Christian ought to be doing the things that the Holy Spirit wants us to do. That actually everything that we do is born out of the fact that the Holy Spirit is at work in us. Because that brings me on to one of the other slight problems that I have with the whole charismatic movement, with this idea of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Or those that perhaps put an emphasis on the gifts. Some people seem to think that the evidence is the gifts. The evidence is this, according to my Bible, according to Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit in people's lives. The gifts are amazing, and we thank God for those, and I want to see those used in our church, in our community. But actually, we also need to see the fruit. We need to see love. We need to see joy. Have you ever, again, little aside, on some television programs or radio programs, the person that's a Christian looks miserable. Why? Why have we got that reputation?
Oh, you can't do that here, lad.
What? No. According to the fruits, we should be joyful. We should be happy. We've been saved. We've been redeemed. Surely that should make us cheerful, if nothing else.
Oh, no. You can't sing that song here, lad.
Sorry, Jim, I wasn't trying to make an impersonation. I just realised I kind of got into a Lancashire accent. That wasn't deliberate. It wasn't deliberate. Oops. Anyway, we should be happy. We should be peaceful. You might think, oh yes, well, there's all this violence going on in our world. Yes, we need to have peace. Okay, here's a challenge. How about having peace with the people that you're members of the church with? Because sometimes that doesn't happen. How about having forbearance or patience with each other? Showing kindness to each other. I have noticed it seems to have gone out of fashion to hold the door open for people. Particularly among certain feminist movements. Why? We just want to show kindness. We're not trying to beat people up over it. But it's one of the fruits of the Spirit that we're kind, that we have goodness, that we have faithfulness, that we have gentleness. There used to be somebody at a church that's not here, that's a little way away from here. She was not full of gentleness, shall we say. And it amused me that she would then speak in tongues in some of the meetings. Self-control. How's your self-control? Gifts are fantastic, and as I say, I want to encourage that. But far more than that, I want to encourage us all that if we long for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control as we follow God together, as we invite the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. So how's it going to affect us on June the 4th, 2017? I'll say it again. I believe that we should be seeing the work of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our church. I believe that the Holy Spirit should be working in us as individuals. And I'm really thankful that, unlike the picture that required perfect conditions, we don't need to be perfect for the Holy Spirit to be willing to use us. That actually we can come just as we are, and he's willing to fill us, to use us. But that's not the end of it. That actually what God wants is to move us forward. That as we are willing, as we start to use the gifts, as we start to grow in those areas, that actually what happens is that the gifts are linked with the fruits. And we see change in our lives as we allow God to work in us. So last week, we celebrated the change in our church, the change of our church into a charitably incorporated organisation. We had the opportunity to show our commitment both to God and to each other by signing those forms and bringing those back to show that we are committed to God and to his church in this place. So isn't it fitting that as we celebrate the start of a new era in the life of our church, as we celebrate the new church that was formed at Pentecost in the New Testament, that we can also see the Holy Spirit at work as the church enters a new phase in its life. Imagine that moment in that room when the Holy Spirit moved like a wind, like a breeze, as we sung earlier on, changing those people, transforming them from the cowardly, the timid, the frightened, into the men and women that God wanted, that God used to change the world. And God is still in that same business, changing people's lives, changing my life, changing your life. So this morning, I invite you to accept the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity. If you've become a Christian already, then he's already there. But maybe you need to unlock that part of your life, that you accept that God, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit at work in gifts and in fruit in your life, in my life. Let's pray together. I don't think there's anything amazing that we have to do to receive the Holy Spirit from God. I think the most important thing is that we are open to Him, that we allow ourselves to be filled by God, that we invite Him into our lives, just like we invited Him into our lives when we became a Christian, that actually we make that invitation to God, to the Trinity, to the person that is the Holy Spirit. Would you come and dwell in me? Would you come and empower me? Would you come and fill me up just like what happened in that upper room? Would you transform me into the man or woman of God that you want me to be? That I can go out from this place changed, different, full of the Holy Spirit, so that it is pouring out of me. And Lord, would you continue that process? The Bible says that we should be being filled, that it is a continuous process. It's not just something that happens as a one-off, that actually as we pour out, as we move in the Holy Spirit, as we seek to serve, that we need to come back again and ask God to fill us again and again and again. So Lord, would you do that right now as we bring ourselves to you? Would you fill us, Lord? Would you come and move on us? Fill us up, Lord, we pray. Because we are your people and we desperately need for you to move in our lives, to make us the men and women that you want us to be. Amen.